Radio.com.
Grace Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Trace Rios, our only limit is your imagination. Trace Rio Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535. Or you can find us on the web at traceriosilver.com. Proud to be a part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Discover the mysteries of cosmetic dentistry. For all the insider tips and wellness solutions, tune in to Get Your Smile On with Dr. Joel Gould, Wednesdays at 7 p.m.
She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
This is 4 Radio, a media platform used to elevate voices and empower dreams. And now...
All right, rodeo fans, it's time for She's Gone Country with the CB Cowgirl. Introducing your host, Becky Christensen, and co-host, Vicki Christensen O'Shield. Hey, let's ride.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Becky Christensen. This is my co-host, Vicki Christensen O'Shield. And we are She's Gone Country with the CB Cowgirls. We are an internet radio show that airs Monday nights on Blog Talk Radio. You can find us there every week live, or you can go to our website at shesgonecountry.us, and all of our archives are there for your listening pleasure when you have time to sit, relax, and enjoy some really great interviews and stories behind the stories.
Well, and that's what you said, Becky. We are the stories behind the stories. We really believe in bridging the generations, because rodeo today would not be what it is and where it's at without the rodeo superstars, the hardworking cowboys and cowgirls of yesterday. So we've had a great time this week. This is our second year back here for Group W.
Yep.
Big shout out to Group W. Thank you for a wonderful trade show. Thank you for having us back on stage. And we're early this morning. We are early.
Nothing like shooting out the final couple days and getting up early and trying doing this. But we have a fun event that we're going to be attending to. And it's really great because our show today really lends to where we're going to be off to. So tell our listeners where we're going.
Absolutely. As soon as we're done here and we're off stage, we are headed over to the Palms Hotel for the World of Rodeo Gathering and the Gold Card Reunion. And so with that being said, I'm going to let Becky introduce our guest, because when we get over to the Palms, we're going to be talking to a lot of cowboys that tie right in.
I'm just laughing because there's nothing worse than botching your guest's name. But I'm just going to put it out right now. I'm probably going to mess it up. Maybe I'm Vicki.
Well, our guest is someone that we have been in contact with for, oh gosh, close to over maybe a year.
And he
I
just
believe.
Now told me I've been saying his last name wrong.
I know. You know, we've known Justin. It's Justin Kohler. But we're wrong.
We'll let him pronounce his name when he comes up. But he is from South Dakota. He's a native from South Dakota, and he resides in Denver. And he is involved in the production of several documentaries, great shows on the History Channel, and we'll talk about that when he comes up here. But right now, we wanted to just share with you the awesome documentary he is producing right now, and that is the Floating Horses, The Life and Time of Casey Tibb. So welcome to the stage, Justin. I didn't even say it. I'm going to let him introduce.
Kaler. Justin Kaler. Welcome.
The O is an A.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, well, before we get into the interview with Justin, we're going to bring up a couple more folks today. And the gentleman that's coming up now is also from South Dakota, and he is the star of this documentary that Justin is working on. He's a three-time NFR qualifier in the saddle bronc riding. He is over currently competing at the Cinch Shootout, and that is saddle bronc rider Cole Elsher. Please tell me I'm pronouncing your last name right.
Oh, wow.
Just making sure.
So far, one for one. And along with Cole, you know, as Justin's going to explain to us, Justin has some great stories behind the stories about putting together this documentary on Casey. But the next person we're bringing up was also involved in it. There's so many different people that make it come together. From Greeley Hat Works, we would like to welcome Trent Johnson. And Trent was responsible for creating Casey's hat of the times.
Look.
Yeah, the look.
Recreating the distinct look of Casey Tibbs. We also want to bring to the stage our guest co-host that's going to join us. He's been so gracious to share the stage with us this week in Donalyn's absence. Donalyn is the co-founder or the founder of Western Wishes and our guest co-host, and she wasn't able to be here. So our faithful friend Kevin Contardo stepped in to fill her shoes. So welcome to the stage, Kevin. Do you have a you have a chair back there? I'm gonna let you pull up a chair over here at the end.
He just rolled out of a taxi. He was stuck in traffic.
That was an adventure. The cab driver made a wrong turn, but I redeemed myself when we pulled into the back and he says, "Oh shoot, I didn't hit my meter."
Oh.
So it was a free ride.
Darn the luck.
I did tip him, though. I do have some level of class left in me. Even though I'm late for the show, I apologize.
No, you're right on time. Look at that.
We enjoyed Maria, our producer, and she has a beautiful voice, and we love Loretta Lynn, and we love Maria. Thank you so much.
Yes, and we also love all of our sponsors. We have had great support this year, so thank you to all of them. We'll be having some giveaways before the show's out from Original Cowgirl Clothing and Nod Big Apparel, who is really kind of taken the stage this year in the Western world. They're working with Butler, and they have some stock named after him. I think one of them won the round last night.
I believe you're right, Becky.
So that's pretty cool. So thank you, everyone, for joining us today. Justin, I know you have been hard at work the last couple of years. Share with our listeners, if you will, what it is you're doing.
Well, I'm doing a documentary film on Casey Tibbs, and most everybody in the rodeo world and whoever's walking around through the aisles out there, the second you say Casey Tibbs, people usually stop, and it rings a bell or it brings back a memory, or maybe they're a younger kid and they've heard their grandparents or parents talk about Casey Tibbs and his flamboyant life. Well, I'm originally from South Dakota. See it just like that, yeah.
Woo-hoo!
And needless to say, the ladies love Casey Tibbs, even today.
And stories had it that Casey loved the ladies, too.
A little bit, I think, yes. Yeah, he was quite the ladies' man. But I grew up in South Dakota, and I moved to Denver and got into production there. And when it came time that I wanted to start telling my own stories on screen, I looked back to my home state of South Dakota. And there's so many great stories there that have never been told. And so I've done a couple documentaries on a few different subject matters in South Dakota. And when I was finished with my last film called The Buffalo King, I started asking around because Casey had always been on my mind. And I made an inquiry to a guy who was in The Buffalo King about, hey, what do you know of Casey Tibbs? Because he's a resident of Fort Pierce, South Dakota. He looked at me and goes, I did my college thesis on Casey Tibbs. And so he shared a few stories about Casey, and right away, I was like, okay, I need to look more into it. Because I knew the cliff notes of Casey being from South Dakota. I knew he's a great saddle bronc rider and all this. But I started digging, and it didn't take very long to see, number one, his story was so deep. There was more to him than just the cowboy, number one. And so I started digging, and the other big thing was no one has ever done a film on his life, which was shocking and also a little scary because I wanted to jump on it before somebody else decided to do it. So I did. I jumped on it and started researching. I did about a year of research on Casey and proceeded from there. I knew I needed to know a lot about Casey Tibbs before I was going to contact anybody that was friends with him, that was married to him, anything. Because if I didn't know what I was talking about, they would shut me off and hang up the phone and not have any respect for me as a filmmaker. So I really wanted to educate myself on the life of Casey Tibbs.
Well, and Justin, you did a fantastic job because, I mean, you have so many rodeo historians, on board with you. They trust you. They know that you're putting together a quality story about the life and times of Casey. And we're just so excited, you know, to be part of it. What did you find, other than gaining the trust issue, the second most difficult thing to do when you're working on this project?
Well, as you said, I put a lot into gaining people's trust. I think that's, you're not going to get a great interview from somebody that's, say, Deb Copenhaver or Charlie Daniels or Baxter Black or Red Steagall or any of these guys. You have to have their trust. So that was my number one thing. And then number two is, okay, how am I going to get out there and actually interview these people? How am I going to raise the money to be able to fly there, to take cameras, to take a crew, if you could call a crew, two of us a crew. We're kind of a guerrilla-style filmmaking. But so I had to do a lot of fundraising, and that's one of the hardest things is raising the funds to get out there, because I don't have a silver spoon waiting back at home. I have a regular job that I do. I work in production.
Oh, and that
so,
one.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how we found Justin, through the GoFundMe.
And so I just right away, once I it was kind of a combination of calling people, researching, and then, okay, how am I going to raise money to get out and do this? Can I find a sponsor, or do I just have to do various types of fundraising to do it? And somehow, some way, I'm sitting here today, and we're in the editing phase of the film and almost done with it. So somehow we've gotten here. I don't know how. Don't ask me.
Well,
a lot of work.
How long have you been working on this now, total?
For me, it's almost 3 years.
Oh.
I spent close to a year, just like I said, researching and contacting people. And then we've been about a year and a half of interviewing. We have 31 interviews. And if you ask me all 31, I'll have to go backstage and grab my paper, because there's a lot of them. We've interviewed 31 people. So that's been a big adventure, too.
Well, I think that lends to the type of person that Casey Tibbs was, and the amount of people that respected him or had a friendship with him or shared a laugh or maybe rough patch with him, and he's just well-rounded and respected. And I think it's awesome, because I know that they released the statue at the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame.
It was unveiled, yes.
Yeah, in 1989, the same year Grandpa was inducted, and I got to be there, and I saw that, and I didn't even understand the magnitude of who he was. And as I was doing my own research, realized he passed away not but 6 months later.
Yeah, it was kind of that. Well, there's a story behind just the unveiling. We have enough to probably put together a little piece on just the making of the statue. That was an incredible journey that you wouldn't hardly believe. But they were in a hurry to get that done, because unfortunately, you know, Casey had cancer and he was fading fast, and so everybody knew that, and they wanted him to be there to unveil that, and they got it done.
And he was there. I remember when they did that, and Casey just.
Yep.
There's
Casey
pictures
was
just like,
in awe. Yeah. He was just, you know, looking up at that statue, and every time we go back to the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame in Colorado Springs, take a moment to pause outside and look at it, because Casey represents to rodeo what, you know, the older generation. Casey Tibbs was the first flamboyant cowboy that had a style like no other. A lot of people, you know, then came Larry Mahan in the next generation and stuff, but Casey was the original that really brought attention to rodeo.
Yeah, people use the term he brought rodeo to national attention, and I think one of the peaks is when Casey Tibbs graced the cover of Life magazine. And for anybody that's probably from the age of 5 to 18, Life magazine, you probably don't know what that means, but we interviewed Steve Ford, President Gerald Ford's son, and I asked him, how would you explain to somebody what it meant for Casey Tibbs to be on the cover of Life magazine? And he paused, and he looked at me, and he goes, it's like being on Sports Illustrated, the cover of Sports Illustrated, for 8 weeks straight. That's how big. I mean, you got to remember, there's no Twitter, there's no Facebook,
right.
There's barely even TV. Life magazine, I mean, it's a huge magazine, too. It's a gigantic magazine. And here's Casey Tibbs, the first and, I believe, only true cowboy to be on the cover of Life magazine. And it was a big, big deal. And it just brought this attention to rodeo. Outside of rodeo, people that were like, I don't know anything about rodeo or I don't care about rodeo, but they saw that guy, he was flamboyant, he was handsome, and they said, I want to go see him ride Bronx.
I was just going to ask Justin,
Kevin.
I'm, as our listeners know, and these gentlemen up here and these ladies know, I'm a newer to the Western industry, if you will. I mean, it's not where I was born, raised. I'm outside of Detroit, Michigan. So it's been interesting for me to kind of learn a little bit about Casey Tibbs, and I'm excited to see the finished product and to get to these gentlemen, especially the guy in the middle who I've known for a few years here, and I want to know how this kind of came to be. But is there someone today or in recent years, maybe the last 5 to 10 years, he's original. Nobody can replace or copy him. But is there somebody in the last maybe 5 to 10 years in pro rodeo that you could say, yeah, somewhat of a character like Casey? Is there any correlation there?
I mean, I could leave. I have two guys in mind, but, I mean, I can let Cole. He has a good sense of that bronc riding world, obviously. But I have two guys in mind, but I would like to hear what Cole. Do you have two guys that you think that might be close to Casey?
It's really hard for me, I guess, because I'm friends with everybody, so it's hard for me to look at them from an objective perspective, I guess, yeah.
Well, I know there's a guy that we wanted in the film that we didn't. Monty Hawkeye Hansen was pretty flashy.
Yep.
Casey never wore a feather in his hat, but I think Monty wore a feather in his hat. But he wore purple. He adored Casey. We really wanted to interview Monty, but we just were never able to do that. I'll go out on a limb on someone that I know the crowd gets really excited for and is pretty flashy. Do you?
I'm going to see who you say if it's the same person. I'm
Starts with a W.
Oh, no, huh?
Oh, I was thinking Wade.
That's yeah, I was going to say. He said W, yeah.
It seems like there's a pretty high energy when people see he's getting on a bucking horse and he's about ready to bust through the chute. And I've heard stories that he kind of likes to party, too, and it's no surprise that Casey was a partier. So there's a lot of correlations, I guess, from what I've heard. I don't know him personally, but I look from the outside and I hear people talk about that. He's such a fun, outgoing, charismatic guy. He needs to get into movies, I guess. That's the only thing Casey did that Wade's not doing. Casey was also in movies, so.
Well, the only person that really, as far as the flamboyant part and the personable and we talk about the Western world, and I don't put it to just a gender, but I think of Fallon Taylor because she's really put herself out there with the way she dresses. She's a people person. She wants to meet and greet everybody, and I think she's done a lot for the sport of rodeo, even as a woman barrel racer, rodeo as a whole.
I've thought of Fallon too. She has that people are drawn to her, and I know I've heard stories interviewing people of Casey where he would, after a rodeo, Casey would be with his family, and they're like, come on, let's go, and he's like, go without me. And you know what he was doing? He stayed till every last kid got an autograph.
I love that, because in rodeo, and you know, with all due respect to professional athletes, they've earned their right and what they're doing and why they're doing it, but a lot of times, and I know back home in Spokane where I'm from, there's a lot of professional athletes that have retired there in the basketball community, and I won't mention names, but it's a big, big sporting industry in my town for that particular sport, and there's a professional athlete that's their hometown, and they refuse to sign autographs. They won't do, and that's a shame, because it's those people that have promoted you and supported you and all that, and they just, nope, I'm retired, I'm not doing it. So, but I think about, you know, the fact that Cole, you're portraying Casey Tibbs, and the first thing I thought of as I researched everything is it's ironic, and maybe it's what I call a coinky dink or a coincidence, but Casey passed away at home in California watching football, and football is one of your favorite sports.
Yeah, I was raised in a real small town, and so I was able to play football even though I was small, so it worked out good. I played for 6 years and liked it just as much as rodeo.
Awesome.
Well, you know, something I think is really special, too, is first off, I have to say thank you for wearing purple this morning.
I noticed that, too.
Casey's favorite color was purple, and I know that Casey must be just really, really happy looking down on this whole thing and seeing a South Dakota native portray him in this documentary. That's very special, Cole.
Thank you.
Well, how'd that all come about? Share with us how you found Cole and what made you pick him. And
well, from the very beginning, I knew I wanted to do some sort of reenactment about Casey Tibbs. And, of course, I mean, I grew up on a ranch. I was a basketball player. I went to college, played basketball. I went to a lot of rodeos. But I knew Casey, and I knew saddle bronc riding was, South Dakota was well known for their saddle bronc riders. So that was pretty obvious. And, of course, Casey Tibbs. Well, I wanted to do some sort of reenactment with someone that had some great talent. And I started asking around who in South Dakota would be a great fit to portray Casey Tibbs on a bronc. And pretty much everybody said this guy next to me. And so I can't even remember how I might have contacted him through Facebook or something. And, I mean, it was within a couple hours, I think, that he got back to me and was like, yeah, I'm interested. So we started talking, and And I told him, well, it's going to be a little bit of time. And then he hurt his knee, so we had to postpone the shoot. And then I was freaking out on the shoot because I was hoping he wouldn't hurt his knee again. but we got him on board. I mean, he's one of the up-and-coming stars. I had to dress really nice today because I knew I was going to sit next to him, and he's way too handsome. So he's got the looks. He's got the talent. Not to put too much pressure on him, but I think next year it's going to be his year with all this going on. I think he's going to have a strong year. I think there's a lot of things going for him, but we're honored to have him on the project. And he did awesome. I mean, there's some stories we could tell, and maybe I over-exaggerate it, but his ride, we did a bronc ride, and it was just an empty arena. It was on the Corco Ranch, so if you know who Jim Corco is and TJ Corco, they let us come out and ride in their arena, which was built in like 1959, so the arena was...
Wooden shoes?
They were the first metal. I think that they were one of the first metals, but they are period correct. And the bronc, I've got my camera, I'm down low, and it's empty, it's quiet, and, you know, there's definitely some nerves, you can feel it from everybody, and Cole and the horse, I can't remember her name, bust out of the chute, and right away, I remember, I'm filming, but I'm thinking to myself, my God, this horse is getting after it, like you could hear it, you could feel it. And he gets off, and we finish the shoot, and I walk right up to Cole, and I'm like, you know, I've never been in just an arena with a bronc and a rider, but that seemed different. And Cole's like, I've ridden that horse multiple times, and she's never bucked like that. That's what I remember. But.
Yeah, that morning we were able to go out into the river breaks and gather all their bucking horses. We gathered in about 100 head of bucking horses, and they were going to sort them for head-to-head to a rodeo, and so we were able to get them in and then go have lunch and then come back and then get on a few, and so they were just as happy and fresh as they could be because they were at home and, you know, able to buck in their hometown pretty much, hometown arena, so they did great.
It was pretty intense. The sounds is the only, I don't even know how to explain it, but it was just, I could probably do a horrible imitation of it, but I mean, the horse was working and you just could feel the energy. And you mentioned about Casey looking down. I think he is. I mean, there's moments like that where I think he's given us a little extra. So.
At rodeos, they tried to up the crowd, up the intensity, but this was, there was like five people at the whole arena and it's as quiet as can be. And just to feel the energy of that horse bucking in the arena was something really special.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's amazing. And you describe it that way. Go ahead, Kevin.
I was just going to say.
It just kind of makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up because, you know, this is a very special moment. Very special moment.
Absolutely. And I just wanted to second the notion that Justin said about Cole. I've known him and his family for a few years now, and they don't make them any better than the Elshiers, and especially Cole. And I had the privilege of seeing him ride yesterday over at the here's the shameless plug over at the Cinch Shootout. And I think you're sitting third, right?
Cinch is one of our sponsors, so that's great. Go ahead.
Absolutely. So I went over there and watched him ride yesterday. I think he's sitting third with two more days to go. So he's out here competing just across the way. So 2 o'clock today, if you get a chance, go over and check him out. But I wanted to mention, in production and in film, in being involved with Pro Rough Stock the last 5 years, I've had the privilege of getting up close a few times, and some of the guys said, you know, hey, you need to come stand on the back of the chutes and watch me ride. And I did that a couple of times for some saddle bronc guys and bareback guys and bull guys that I've gotten close with. And what you said about the sounds, when you're that close, and it's something a lot of people over at the Thomas and Mac, you know, when you're sitting way up there, you don't get that experience. But to see and hear what these guys go through and the animal and the energy the animal gives the rider and vice versa is absolutely, it's not only sport, but it's art. And it's, the only word I can think of
riding. It's just, to me, the word's finesse. It's a finesse.
It is. It's, to me, and these aren't good words, but it's terrifying and horrifying when you hear the sounds and when you're that close and the elevation and I was glad you mentioned that, that you were able to capture that or at least feel it because I was fortunate enough to experience that. And I think a lot of people that go to rodeos that don't get that close don't get that. And I don't know how Cole does what he does. It's amazing.
Well, Kevin, talking about, you know, the sights and the sounds and that type of thing, I remember hearing stories from Becky's Aunt Linda, my cousin Linda, you know, Casey wheeling into the ranch there in Oregon in his purple Cadillac. And I was just a little girl, and every day was just an ordinary day, but I look back now and there were some extraordinary days, and I wish that I would have been a little bit older and paid a little closer attention. But when you got the purple shirt, that was my next question, Cole. Where's your Cadillac?
Well, I flew in, so I'd really,
Hey, Casey was one of the very first cowboys to ever fly. He brings up flying. I mean, that's how innovative he was. I found an interview of Casey talking about them flying, and I also interviewed his second wife, who, I'll be honest with you, I was never nervous interviewing Steve Ford, Deb Copenhaver, Charlie Daniels, Baxter Black, any of those guys. I was the most nervous for both of his ex-wives, former wives, but they're both extremely wonderful women and had obviously great insight on Casey, but they mentioned, Sandra Tibbs mentioned that they had like a handful of crashes. We'll call it crash landings with their airplanes, and I have an interview of Casey talking about their pilot, and he didn't even know it at the time. His pilot was in training. He didn't even know how to fly. He was earning his right to get a license flying Casey around. I mean, you couldn't even do that today. So it's pretty crazy. But then his purple Cadillac, yeah, how many guys do you see or ladies do you see driving around in a purple
Just
Cadillac?
Just Mary Kay consultants, but they're
pretty. Yeah. Yes, that's true, yeah.
Well, I want to ask Cole, because I'm really impressed with the fact that, you know, you're younger than I am, and by a long ways, and and for me, this is an educational experience because I've learned so much about Casey in the stories and looking through things. And for one, I didn't know he was the youngest cowboy to ever win the world championship, and
he
that
was
he won.
19.
Yeah, and that he'd won it 6 times. You know, the caliber of man that he was. It's so cool to go back and hear all the stories. What has it been like getting into character for this documentary?
It was very easy. Justin made it as easy on me as he could, and he just told me what to do, and I just go through the steps. But just to try to be myself, I guess, was what we tried to capture the most. That way it was just natural, and just the rodeo mentality is what we tried to utilize the most.
Well, now, growing up, did you hear lots of stories being from South Dakota, obviously?
Yeah, my dad would always tell me stories about Casey Tibbs, and so I just knew the few details. I wasn't deep into the history of him, but...
Well, you should tell, we can spoil one of the things. What was the story your dad always told you?
My dad's favorite story was about Roy Rogers, and it was at Madison Square Gardens. Well, he had this act where he'd go out and he'd shoot his pistol off and make his horse rear up and you know, do this deal in the halftime of the rodeo. And well, so the next day Casey Tibbs seen that, so they crawled up in the rafters, and every time he'd shoot his gun off, he'd throw a dead pigeon down, and the crowd would just boo and boo, and then he'd, you know, try to go around a little bit more and shoot his gun and throw another dead pigeon down. Well, Roy like hated him for life after that.
Yeah, Casey and Roy Rogers were good friends, but how many? He was mad at him for a while, but he did get over it. But how many people could do that to Roy Rogers? You know, Roy Rogers had that very clean exterior, his persona, and they were great friends. I have several pictures of those two together. But how many people could pull a prank? And Casey, of course, and most people know he was this legendary prankster. Some of them went to the extreme, and he's lucky probably no one was killed. But, you know, yeah, he was dropping dead pigeons. The media would probably have a fee day with that today if someone was dropping dead pigeons from the rafters. But that was and that's also the thing is Madison Square Garden, these massive rodeos in New York City where they were there for, like, I think a couple weeks or so. I mean, they were in town for a long time, New York City, Boston Garden, and here's Casey Tibbs, just, you know, 19 years old. I mean, I was at the rodeo last night, and the one right boy is 20 years old. Yeah, and they make obviously, which is a big deal, he's a young kid, but imagine today a 19-year-old becoming world champion saddle bronc rider, and that's Casey Tibbs. I mean, no one's. It's tough to do. It's really tough to do
it
at
is.
That young of an age. You're competing against these top-of-the-line animals, these great athletes, and so what he achieved at 19 years old is just amazing.
And nowadays, it's starting to be a young man's game, but back then, the riders were all older gentlemen. Casey was the 19-year-old, and everybody else is well into their 30s and 40s.
Well, and Cole, what I like about this, because everything that She's Gone Country, the CB girls, cowgirls talk about is returning to your roots and focusing on all the history and the legacy and the stories. I'm curious, again, let's just say he's much younger than me, your generation... how important is it for you guys to connect to that past? Because, I mean, you can go to the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame and you can see pictures on the wall, but without the story behind what you're looking at, if you don't know it, you can't appreciate it. So what has that been like, and what do you feel, is that important for this generation? Do you think they need to get a little bit more connected?
Oh, yes. you know, rodeo has a long history, and a lot of the fans are generation passed down to generation generation. So, you know, it's grandparents taking their grandkids to the rodeo, and that's what makes rodeo so special. And so we're able to utilize what those guys accomplished and perform for them same families.
Well, I've got a question, and I know, Justin, you can kind of work us into this. But, okay, you gathered up the money. You did your background research. You found coal. You found all of this. And then you had to recreate the moment. And that's when you went to Corco's and the horses and all of that. But the gentleman sitting to the left there of Cole recreated something.
And I so respect how detailed you've been about all of this.
Mm-hmm. Well, the details, devil's in the details, as they say. And for Casey Tibbs, his look is so iconic, from the shape of his hat to the purple bib Nudie's Rodeo Taylor shirt to his chaps. And we wanted to somehow find a way, how can we accumulate this and have this on screen in these reenactments with Cole? And so I just went to the people that I knew, and that I knew had faith in what I was trying to do and believed in what I was doing. And Trent from Greeley Hat Works, man, I met Trent, it's probably been 5 years ago or so.
5 years, yes.
In Denver the WESA, right, it's called. I did some work for Petrol Jeans, and there were neighboring Trent's booth, and I just wandered over there. You know me, I'll talk to anybody, and I liked his hats, and I started talking to him, and that's kind of how our friendship and came about. And when I was looking for a hat, I called him up and said, I need a Casey Tibbs hat. Can you do it for me?
And that's the fun part, is getting to work with people that are genuine. That's what really helps, is having sincere, genuine people. And, I mean, we've got to do lots of TV and movie and things like that, but, like, this one was awesome. And I kind of got to be on the inside a little and maybe see some of the stuff that, you know, wasn't out for everybody yet to kind of see on the reels, because I wanted it to be spot on. And the hat is very iconic. And then I also had the advantage of I've been lifelong friends with Red Steagall. Him and my dad were roommates back in the day. So I got to call and talk to Red, and, you know, and just kind of – I wanted some stories. I mean, you could build a – I mean, there's lots of people here building nice hats. I wanted to build more than a hat. I'm building part of Casey, right? And so that was the thing, is getting some stories and then getting to meet Cole and measure his unique head. But, you know, then getting to put all those things together, I mean, that's what it's about for me, is just the joy in being involved in something that's going to be memorable.
Well, and speaking to that, there's no coincidences. There's just not. I always just say there's God's perfect timing. And so the fact that, you know, you were intricate with and close with Red, and he was friends with Casey. Then we reached out, and Trace Rios, you know, our family has very deep ties with Casey, and I know that Brett and Vicki and Keely were ecstatic at the opportunity to do the buckle.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when Justin called and said, can you recreate Casey's world champion buckle? And I was just like, oh, absolutely. You know, Casey was great friends with my dad, and, of course, Casey and War Paint, lots of pictures of them together scattered throughout rodeo albums. But I have to tell you that recreating Casey's world champion buckle, 24 years in the buckle business, and this one buckle, I would wake up in the middle of the night going, oh, my gosh, it's got to be perfect. It's got to be spot on. So it was all a God thing. You know, the rodeo family is all tied together in so many ways that we don't understand them all, and we're not supposed to, but it was an honor.
Well, and you know, the thing about that, about waking up in the cold sweat in the middle of the night thinking about this, and I mean this very sincerely, it's a movie. You're going to see the hat, you're going to see the buckle, but the thing that makes it so perfect is the passion. Is that you know that Casey's looking down, and you want it to be spot on. I mean, it's 10 seconds in a movie. I mean,
well,
really.
And then you just, and this is just me with all the little things I see. You know, Justin's out there from the bottom of his heart doing this documentary, and he finds this young gentleman. And where is he from? He's from Faith, South Dakota. So I just think it's, you know, those funny little intricacies that they're just not coincidences.
Well, we mentioned Jim Corco, and if anybody out there knows Jim, he's a pretty stoic guy. Loved working with him. He's a super nice guy, but he's pretty stoic. And he'd seen Casey in his younger days. And we got Cole all dressed up from head to toe with Trent's hat, the bib shirt, the buckle, the chaps by Jory Zurcher out of Buffalo, Wyoming. And he was head to toe Casey Tibbs. And I think I told Cole, I go, we got to let Jim see you. And he stepped out, and Jim looked at him, and he just goes, and just smiled and nodded. He didn't say a word, but he smiled. And it's kind of hard to get Jim to smile sometimes, but he had this big grin on his face, and we knew we nailed it because he'd seen him probably in that outfit in person before. So getting Jim's nod of approval and smile was pretty cool.
What was that like for you, stepping out like that?
Well, the tricky part was getting squeezed into those jeans.
Yeah, I found some old, well, Casey, I think it was Jim Shoulders who was the big Wrangler guy, and Casey was with Lee Jeans. And so I actually found old vintage, the exact style that Casey used to wear on eBay or something. It was brand new, still had the tag on it. I think they call it old new stock or something like that, but it was the real deal. And they're a little higher up, and I remember him putting them on. And he was like, these fit a little different than the other ones. But then after we were done with ride, he's like, you know what? I kind of actually like you. You kind of they fit well when you're riding.
Yeah, as well as I rode, I thought maybe I should put them in my gear bag.
It's like Corral Vintage Boots. It's Lee Vintage Jeans.
Yeah. So they were, and a shout out to Lee. They've been great. I didn't get those pants from them, but they sent me whatever they had in their collection.
Wow.
At Lee, because they had a ton of photographs of him doing, you know, appearances and photo shoots, and they just said, here you go, give us a credit in the film and have fun. And they sent me like 70 photographs of Casey representing Lee Jeans, which is pretty cool.
Well, and he just, any old photograph you see, or he just is so distinct. And, you know, they all had a very, this generation has a distinct look. They had a distinct look.
And that kind of goes to why I got Trent. I mean, he's got, I'm not just saying it, he has, you know, beautiful hats, and not just because I knew him, but that's why I went into his shop, into his booth, because his hat stood out to me. But he sees a lot of men and women that are sharply dressed, and I don't know what his thoughts are, but you look at Casey in his, and granted, he paid a lot of money. We interviewed Jamie Nudie, who's the granddaughter of Nudie's Rodeo Tailors. I think she told me Casey paid like $400 or $500 for those bib shirts, and that was in the 50s.
Yeah,
so
imagine
somebody
that
can pull out their calculator, do the inflation, but that's probably like $1,200 shirt. But I mean, you see pictures of him, and I think that's, I mean, what do you see? He was ahead of his time when it came to a lot of things, but style was one that was, he just was so cool looking.
Well, I think that's a cool thing, is he created the style. So it wasn't, you know, and today with so many thumbs doing the talking, and, you know, social media and everything, is you can figure out how you want to look by looking at somebody's Instagram. He was, well, obviously way ahead of Instagram, like he was ahead of, he was the trendsetter. Like, he would do it, he would wear it, and then others would follow. So, yeah.
Well, I have a question for Cole. Has working on this film inspired you in your writing and anything that you're doing now as far as what you've learned on how Casey rode and all the accomplishments that he had? Have you taken to anything?
Well, I just kind of realized how people look up to their rodeo heroes, and then I keep getting compliments on what I'm doing and how I've been going about things, and it just makes me want to inspire more people to rodeo and to just, you know, walk the right path.
Character integrity.
Yeah, that was, I can't say enough about what I've learned about Casey in that fashion, is he knew how, I don't know if important is the right word, but he knew what he did for the sport of rodeo. He knew who was looking at him. He knew who was looking up to him. And he took those extra efforts to understand that, okay, I'm Casey Tibbs, and people look at me, and it's almost like he's bigger than what he probably even realized. But he knew that he had to give his time. And, God, he gave things to people. I mean, he was like one of the, not, I'm not telling you to do this, Cole. But he would just, like, some girl would be like, oh, that's a beautiful saddle. Oh, you want it? Or some kid, you know, there's a great story of, I think it was, I don't know where he lived, but he would go to the post office, and every day he'd see this young kid mailing money, the money that he made, back to Mexico to his family. And he would see him doing this every week, his paycheck. And one day Casey walked up, took the belt, one of his world championship or some championship buckle off his belt, gave it to him and said, keep that for yourself.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. And Justin, tell us a little bit about the bronze of Casey at Colorado Springs. There's a special story behind that, the heart.
Yeah, Ed Hayes, who we interviewed for the film, did the sculpture of the champ, which is outside of the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame and just a beautiful statue. And, you know, there's Casey, for being, he was extremely confident, but in the same time he was very modest. He would always deflect praise to somebody else. And they did this statue for Casey at the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame, and he was talking about the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame. And about people supporting that. And he was very honored to be the man out in front of there. But I do know that when they approached him, Ed Hayes, he had seen Ed Hayes' sculpture here in the NFR somewhere on one of these booths like this. And he said, I want you to do that. And they were having a hard time finding money. And that's where Charlie Daniels and Charlie's manager, David Corlew, who we both interviewed for the film, they got the ball starting on that. And that, it wouldn't have happened without Charlie Daniels and David Corlew. That statue wouldn't be there because they didn't have the funds. And they put on this huge fundraiser in Beverly Hills. It's a long story, but it's again, a show of friendship and how people loved Casey and what they would do to help not only Casey but the sport of rodeo. So that statue, the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame and Charlie Daniels and David Corlew are who you have to tip your hat to because that's why that's there. That's why Ed put that heart inside of the bronze.
The heart inside the bronze,
yeah. And he revealed that at the unveiling of the statue. And, of course, Casey famously said, thanks for making me look so good. Hell, I was good. And, I mean, that's Casey. That's Casey Tibbs. So, gotta love him.
Share with us where you're at this point in preparing the document.
Well, we have 31 interviews, as I mentioned, which is just a lot. My editor probably wants to strangle me every day of the week. But we are almost done with the edit. We hope to have the film finished and be starting our film festival tour this coming 2016, early 2016. But we're just piecing together the story. The story is most important. And I've said this before, and I don't mean to scare people away, but if you're expecting to see a film that's only about rodeo and Casey Tibbs, you're going to be very disappointed. It's about Casey. I'd be an idiot if there's not a lot of rodeo in there. So there is a lot of rodeo, but I want to know, and I want people to know, who was Casey as a person? What made him tick? What was his ups and downs in his life? He was far from perfect, and I think we have to show all that. When I contacted Steve Ford, President Gerald Ford's son, I always tell people, when somebody can start a story by saying, well, my dad was president, I'm like, okay, you're cool. But he, the first phone call I got from Steve Ford, and I was trying to get a hold of him a lot, and finally I get a call, hey, it's Steve Ford. I'm like, hi. And right away he goes, Justin, for the past 25 years, I've had people contact me about Casey Tibbs, because Steve was very close to Casey. He goes, for the past 25 years, I've had people call me about books, about movies, about documentaries, about this and that. He goes, what have you done? And I go, how much time do you have? And he's like, however much time it takes. And so I laid it out. It took forever to tell him. But it was done. He was like, you know, the one thing I'm most impressed with and the only reason I'm going to be a part of it is you're telling the whole story of Casey's life. You're telling the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between. But that's what makes us human. And I don't think you can make a film or talk about and just put him up on a pedestal. No one's going to – it's just no one's that holy. Yeah, and that's what makes inspiration. You have to overcome battles in life. Casey Tibbs overcomed many battles in life, and he always succeeded. He always said – never leave home for second. And I don't think he was pertaining just to the rodeo arena. It was, if you're going to step out that door, you better give it your number one effort. And that's I think, how he lived life. And he knew he had failures, but he was going to overcome those failures.
I can see, and when you're talking about all you've done, it's very emotional for you.
Absolutely.
I'm sitting
here looking at you, thinking I'm going to go,
we've been crying. You know, things like that touch you, and they touch you in a deep way, and they impact you, and they change your perspective on the way even you live your life.
Justin, I was going to ask you, in all of your research and everything, what touched you the most about Casey and all of your research and stuff? Is it because, he was real? What touched you the most about this project?
Well, you can't ask me that when I'm already...
You're sending a tear.
It's an emotional
on.
Project.
Wow.
There's a lot that he did. You know, his dad was completely against rodeo. He didn't want Casey to rodeo. So imagine the great, well, some consider the greatest rodeo cowboy in history, never being here. You'd never heard of Casey Tibbs, perhaps. So he had to go against his father, and that took a lot of guts.
Especially when you're in a farming community or a ranching community.
I mean, he literally, well, Casey Tibbs was pretty much just abandoned at a rodeo and was left on his own because he rode in a rodeo and his dad said not to. So that's for him to overcome that, and I have an interview of him where he said, I had to become a man at age 13.
Well,
how many 13-year-olds today are men? Not to offend anybody, but I mean, he literally had to become a man. He was hitchhiking hundreds of miles to rodeos as a 13-year-old kid, and I'm not going to unveil this, but the things he had to do to get from one point to the other will blow your mind. You won't even believe it, what he had to do. And we have Jeb Rosebrook, who a lot of people may know the movie Junior Bonner with Steve McQueen, and he wrote that movie. And he actually was going to write a book with Casey, but they didn't have the funds to do it, so he knew a lot. He was great friends with Casey, plus he knew a lot of the history. And so he was able to give us a lot of that early history, and the stories he told of how Casey Tibbs got to rodeo on his own is just, you wouldn't believe it. It's almost heartbreaking, but he did it. And who knows, maybe that was, you know, one of his driving forces. I believe that's one of his biggest driving forces, because I've seen a lot of interviews of him later in life when his dad had already passed away. I think his dad passed away in 1949. Never did see him win a world championship. And he would always, things would come up in conversations with Casey asking other people about, what did your dad think of rodeo? And you knew it bothered him, even to, I think, his whole life. I don't think he ever got over it, even though they did reconcile. But that was a tough thing, and for him to overcome that. But there's a lot of things. Casey did a lot of things in this film that once it's done, I think people will walk out of the theater being like, holy crap, I did not know that about Casey's life. I mean, there's some incredible things that we've uncovered.
I'm excited to see this. It reminds me of a documentary I saw a few years ago about a Formula One driver, Ayrton Senna, that they put together that was a beautiful behind-the-scenes piece, and this is going to be exceptional for the rodeo community. I want to shift gears real quick or make a little bit of a transition here. He was an icon. He was interesting. And I want to bring it to Cole, who's, you know, competing, and he's an up-and-comer and stuff like that. Who have you admired? Who do you look up to? Who are some of your heroes as a current rider?
My cousins Ryan and JJ, I've, you know, been watching them since I was just little when they started practicing, and so just being able to, you know, watch what they went through to compete and to grow to where they were successful and be at the top gave me faith in myself that I could do it, because they're, you know, they're my cousins, so if they can do it, I could do it, you know. So, and then Red Lemel, he's from Faith as well, and been to the NFR many times, and a huge supporter of rodeo, and has helped in many ways. And he helped me get started and set in my saddle and coming to practice. We'd practice every week when I was in high school, and he still helps me today. I seen him yesterday, and he gave me advice, and before I left home, he looked at my saddle and made sure everything was fitting right. And so he's been great impact on my life.
Well, those are some good guys, the Elshire boys, for sure. Those are great idols.
Well, and you said you're sitting third right now, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, before we're going to show your documentary, and I know we have
the trailer.
Sorry, you don't get to see the whole thing. It's not ready yet. But you do get to see a sneak peek of it. But before we do that, usually I do this as a giveaway, but I'm just sitting here and it's just on me. I think if Casey was here, he'd give you this, and he'd tell you to nod big today when you come out of those shoes. So I want to give you that hat from our sponsor, because I know that's probably coming from him. I appreciate you. I know that your favorite book's the Bible. I know you're an honest and you have integrity, and you are going to go far. You've already made a mark in the PRCA, and I know you've got a long career ahead of you, even if you're 20. You're going to have a birthday. He has a birthday on Saturday, so happy birthday as well. He'll be a whopping 26.
Yeah, thank you.
So I think, because I know we would like to see the trailer.
Right, and do you want to set it up for everyone, Justin?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have just a little 3-minute sneak peek of Floating Horse of the Life of Casey Tibbs documentary. If anybody's close by, they want to come see, you'll see, like I said, you have Charlie's in it. So it's only 3 minutes long. And then I also brought a prize for somebody out in the crowd as well. So after we show the film, I can hand out a little gift for somebody for showing up. And but I'll play it. It's only 3 minutes, but it gives you a glimpse of Floating Horses, the life of Casey Tibbs documentary.
Perfect. Well, I'm going to say thank you so much for everyone that came out today. I
want to
wish Cole good luck today. And I thank everyone for coming out. We will be broadcasting this on our radio show sometime in the next 30 days or so. So keep a look at that. Go to she'sgonecountry.us. And we're going to close out. We'll be back tomorrow for our last show at 12:30, our normal time.
Right,
and that's
going
to be with Bob Feist. Debbie Garrison,
Debbie
and Joe
Garrison.
Frost.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. And Becky, before we close out, Justin, you've got the box sitting here on stage.
Oh, yes.
Want to talk to you about that very quickly.
Oh, okay.
Way for all of us to help Justin and bring Casey's project to life.
Well, if I've got a little purple box, of course, with a C on top of it. Mandalay Bay will probably hate me for saying it, but instead of dropping some money into a slot machine, if you'd like to help out us making the film here, I have raised money that we've done, you know, Kickstarter, if you've ever heard of Kickstarter, and we've also done, you know, Charlie Daniels donated a signed fiddle that we did a raffle for, but I've also just done, you know, fundraisers. I go to places and have a donation box for people to drop in $1, $5, $20, whatever. So if you'd like to help get Casey Tibbs' film out, because right now we're trying to buy footage from all the movies that he was in through the major studios, which is costly. But literally every dollar counts. I can't stress that enough. People sometimes get afraid, well, I can't give much. We've gotten here by $5, $20 donations. And so if anybody'd like to contribute, I have the little purple box up front. You can drop something in. We greatly appreciate it. Literally, I'll say this. I don't pocket a dime. I do this all on my free time.
It's a very touching thing.
The money doesn't go to me. I'm not going to go sit at a craps table. The money will go to, like, the David Letterman. Casey was on David Letterman. Here's a frightening stat. A 30-second clip of David Letterman, $3,500.
Wow.
So that's but we got to have that stuff in the film because Casey's eating glass on we'll get into that story
later.
Well,
and real quick, you can find them on Facebook.
Yes, you can find us on Facebook, Floating Horses. Just search that on Facebook. We have a lot of great history on there.
Do you still have your Kickstarter account?
No, that only
ended?
Lasts for a certain amount of time.
Okay.
And we probably won't launch another one, so we're just doing other various fundraisings. If there's somebody
seek you out on Facebook and if you want to make a donation or anything.
If there's a booth out there that would like to be a sponsor of, we'll gladly
history.
Give you
history, stories.
Yes, we'll put your money to good use, and we don't need a lot. I tell people, don't be thinking $20,000. If somebody wants to give $20,000, I'm not going to kick them out the door. But, you know, we do it by little bits. We bring, like we talked about, a community.
Yep.
You bring in a lot of people with a little bit of money, and we make a lot of money, and we'll put it towards the film. So that's one of the hardest parts of doing this. But we've made it this far, and we're going to make it to the end, but we got to have that little extra boost.
Well, and it goes back to the fact that if everyone gives just a little, throw it together, and by being together, we can do a lot. So, and there's also some literature up here on stage, too. Please pick up.
Yeah, I've got some business cards, and I've got a little poster. I don't know if it's the poster we are going to use, but I really like it. It's a close-up of Casey's face, so you can come up and grab one of those little posters. It's so far in the leading run as probably going to be the official poster. It's one of my favorites.
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, all this is South Dakota-based, and being both from South Dakota, learned how to use what we have and make something great out of little. And so that's really been useful for this film project as well.
Well, I respect everything that you're doing, and I thank you for capturing the history because our generation and the generations coming up behind us need it, and I think it's better than a video game, and I think it's better than a lot of the things they sit and look at on their apps on their phones. So I love it.
I did an interview the other day, and they asked me, What is it that you do? Like, what would you call? And my production company is called Nolan Town Productions. And then I thought about it, and I go, I use the, you know, everybody knows the term the pursuit of happiness. And I call it the pursuit of history. I mean,
end
doing
of that
type of this stuff, it brings joy to me.
Yep.
And so it's the pursuit of history is what I'm after, and right now it's Casey. And I have some ideas of what will be next. But I'm loving the last 3 years. I made the comment to Trent. I'm married and have a soon-to-be four-year-old kid, but I kind of feel like I'm married to Casey Tibbs in a weird, strange way. and my wife might think that too. But it's been an honor, and I have not gotten bored of learning about Casey Tibbs. I love hearing about his stories. I wished I could have met him, but it's been fun.
Well, I'm excited by you, Justin.
So if anybody wants to see the sneak peek,
hang on,
we're gonna
sneak down so we get to see it too. So everyone, join us as we get a sneak peek.
Crystal Lines here, and I once owned this flashy little paint horse. It was really cool looking, and he was perfect for what I was doing, singing pre-rodeo concerts, except for that little sucker. Right when you needed to be able to count on him, he would cheat you. And he knew how to bow, but he would just sometimes simply refuse to do it. And if he was ready to quit, he would just pull some stunt right out there in public, knowing you couldn't deal with him until later. Well, I started hearing from God about the whole situation. You know how God will just teach you through stuff. That he started talking to me. My horse was well trained, but not conquered. His hidden agendas remained. Self remained the most important aspect in this little horse's estimation of things, and because of this, there was always a limit to what he was willing to do for me. Well, you know what? We can be like that. We can know how to act, especially in front of an audience, but our heart is far from being controlled by the Spirit of God. Religious people are like this, well-trained but unconquered. The fact is, we in the church have put a lot of weight on training our heads, but we've left out one of the most important ingredients of all, the conquering of our hearts. God cannot use a person to any degree until they've been conquered. Without the conquering of our hearts, face it, we're all just a bunch of well-trained renegades, rebels with pretty manners. God is looking for some men and women with holy guts who will give them their all, who won't hold anything back. You know, I ended up replacing that horse with a horse that wanted to do for me what I asked. And that's like us and God. Don't get replaced. Give God everything you've got. I'm Crystal Lyons, and this is Cowgirl Logic. For more, go to cowgirllogic.net.
She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org. Since 1997, Tres Rios Silver has been providing custom handmade trophy buckles at an affordable price. Family owned, your business is important to us. We are big enough to meet your needs, but small enough to provide that personal touch. Give us a call today at 800-550-7535 and speak with someone on our design staff. Or go online to www.tresriosilver.com. Let us help you design your next trophy buckle. That's Tres Rios Silver, Llano, Texas.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
When you're shamed by the appearance of your teeth, simple things like smiling can seem embarrassing. A rejuvenated look is what you need. At Modern American Dentistry, you can get the perfect smile with a makeover using supermodel veneers and crowns. Simply tune in to Get Your Smile On with Dr. Joel Gould, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. to learn more.
4Radio.com